So, I have a lesson title you see on the screen, Naming the Truth About Ourselves. Well, what we just sang was partially the truth of who we are, what you are, magnificence, the truth, the joy, the love that we all are. Ephesians says, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, our very nature. And so we've talked a lot about in unity around that, are we the Christ or are we not? So just who do you think you are? So do you remember one of your parents saying maybe once or maybe thousands of times, just who do you think you are? I remember that when I was a teenager particularly, you know. And but then we get questions as an adult. We keep searching for identity. Part of life is all about searching for meaning. What is the meaning of all this for us? What is the meaning of this situation that we find ourselves in right now on this planet? Eric Butterworth, one of my favorite Unity authors, Unity Minister Reverend Eric Butterworth, says, God is an allness in which you exist as an eachness. And an affirmation of that is, I'm an expression of God. God expresses as me. Now, when I first read this, only Eric Butterworth could get away with saying something like that. God is the allness in which you exist as an eachness. So let's have fun with saying this. We did this with some youth at one time. And emphasize the word allness and eachness until you really get it. Okay, together. God is an allness in which you exist as an eachness. Now let's turn that into a first person. I am. I am an allness in which I exist as an eachness. I am an expression of God, of Christ's Spirit. I'm an expression of all that is. God expresses and me. And these days we teach our Unity minister students, God expresses in, as, and through me. And how are you doing with that? Are we able to embrace that and to know that? On my good days, yes. So the real answer is, I am. Jesus was asked, and we all know the answer to that is, who are you? I am. I am the Christ. I am the Son of a living God. We've also been taught in Unity to be careful about of what we add after the words I am. We get so used to saying, someone saying, how are you doing today? Well, I'm tired. The I am of you is never tired. The human self-reflection is. Or how are you doing today? Oh, I'm really upset with this. So we need to be careful about what we add after the words I am. Because our core identity really knows and embraces our identity and also of other people. We're here to remind ourselves and each other of our core identity. I am the Christ, the Son of a living God. And a lot of this is not new for those of us that have been around Unity and other New Thought and a lot of spiritual teachings. This is not new. They're universal spiritual principles, and this is one of them. So I want to share a story about a woman that had a vision. She said she saw herself surrounded by crowds of many people. Many of them were children. And so you can have that scene in your own mind. Surrounded by children. Perhaps you are right now. Or in your neighborhood or whatever. Maybe in your life you have children that are with you now. Or maybe they're adult children. They're grown. Maybe they've passed on. Maybe we don't have children. Those of us may not have children. We know that have children come to our mind that we love and we respect and that are always in our hearts. A voice within this woman asked, who will take care of the children? Even though the children may be unruly. And this voice answered, you are to take care of the children. This is your work. Could that be true for us right now? And a lot of us that are parents, we say, well, I am taking care of my children. And what about the children on the planet? Well, this woman, we know of her as Myrtle Fillmore. the co-founder of Unity. She had that vision. And because of Myrtle Fillmore, Unity has had a beautiful focus on supporting children as the magnificence that they are. We are here to remind ourselves that we are here to support our children. And as a result of Myrtle Fillmore's guidance, she created a children's magazine called We Wisdom. I'm wondering if there's anybody here that ever remembers that. It ceased publication in the 90s, which is really sad in some ways. There was so much grieving in the Unity movement among ministers that were touched by We Wisdom over the years. 98 years. We had this program that was, in essence, a daily word for children in their language. And so here we are in the 21st century, and a lot of Unity ministries are wondering, well, who is going to take care of the children? She said, how often we hear it said that the future of our country depends upon the children of the day, Myrtle Fillmore said. And she said, how few people comparatively perceive the fact that the children of today are the most marvelous creatures if given their freedom to express what they feel and know is in their power. Could it be that we are here to remind them and to remind ourselves of their freedom, of our freedom to express how we feel and to know that it's in their power to do this? And so, there's no greater gift to compare with the gift God has given humankind, each other. Another way of framing that in the 21st century, there's no greater gift to compare with the gift that the Spirit of God, the Christ, the infinite intelligence within us has been given, a spiritual being having human experience. And that's each other. We are here for relationship time. Now, we've heard this before. I've shared with our Course of Love group that when I started Course of Love, four years ago, what was really clear to me was I need to take another look at relationships and my commitment to embracing relationships and living relationships and believing the statement we used to say in a church I served in Dallas, for example, every single Sunday, namaste, we had Greek meet time. The place was crazy. People would run around hugging each other. And they would say, namaste, Christ in me honors and greets the Christ in you. Spirit of God in me honors and greets the Christ in you. We also used to say, well, there may be some newcomers, and if you'd rather not be hugged, this is a hugging group, but if you want to stick out your hand, we'll hug your hand. And a lot of new people eventually got into like being hugged. I was one of the, I think I told you all, when I first time we went to a Unity church, Slopes of Diamond Head in Honolulu, all this hugging. And it took a while for me to warm up to that. It still does. I'm not totally, well, hugging, no, I love that. So, what are we going to do with our gift? Now, this slide of the children, I wanted to find some slides that really touched me. And I don't know how well you can see these slides, but this one of, I believe she's an Indian little princess. Isn't she sweet? Absolutely sweet at the left. Then at the bottom, there are three babes aren't the children just awesome? They're calling us to help remind me. Help me remember. And in the bottom right, the black and white photo of the young man, he was actually meditating. The photo of him is him actually meditating, sitting with his hands up. And if that's not pure bliss, I don't know what is. And then we have some teens and some YOUers from the church that are just having all kinds of fun. And so, you know what? The next slide is children of the world. What I'm suggesting today is I'm bringing to our awareness here at Unity Church and Albany, and I've done this in many other ministries. A lot of Unity ministries would like to have more children presence, or some children, or any children. That's true. And it's amazing how that happens. It's also true that these days, what's up for a lot of leadership in Unity churches and churches everywhere is, okay, how are we going to attract the youth? How are we going to attract the millennials? And one of the answers always is, it's about relationships, about we are here to remind each other of their divinity. And it's getting away from talking at them for so long and having them recognize that they are loved and blessed, and we teach them that from the very beginning, and teach them spiritual empowerment. And so, how do we do this? And so I've been in ministries that have had zero children, and those that have had maybe three or four or five, and I've been in ministries that we've grown them in some ways. And what's the common denominator, and how do we attract children here? Another way of looking at this, if we're not a church that's diverse in terms of the culture, people of color, what a concept. If we're not a church like that, then what are we doing around our consciousness that might be preventing people from coming here, or including children, or millennials, people of color, you name it, gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc.? It has to do with consciousness. Life is consciousness. We co-create our reality as we experience it. So things I've done over the years, one is, we'll do it here while I'm here in Albany, and that is having an apology to African Americans that Marianne Williamson wrote. And we will do it. It's very, very heartfelt. We'll take a whole Sunday service to do it, or part of a lesson on a Sunday service to do it. And we will do what we as individuals and collectively and in our consciousness can do to apologize for what we and our society, our country has done to harm African Americans and other people of color, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Apologize. What a concept. Apology. Do it as we mean it. And for children, what's so important is that we have set a consciousness in our hearts that we include and bless all children. We just don't focus on what we lack. Because, you know, if we focus on what we lack, we gather more evidence. What if we focused on the evidence that's in our heart, that we have the evidence of in our heart that we bless the children of the world, and we believe in the here and now we are always connected with one another. And we can do that. We do it all the time by, some would say, it's pretend that, well, children are here. Well, yes, they're always here. They're in our hearts. They're in your hearts. Never any separation. So what we did in Dallas, another place, I'll give you the most recent church I served was a church in Dallas, Unity on Greenville Avenue in Dallas. I was there 8 years. Wonderful place. I love the people. They're just awesome. And we had a good time. And there were times, but we had good times overall. And what we learned was we wanted to, when you have some children, whether it's three or four or five people, maybe 10 or 20 kids, how do we support them? Well, first of all, you visualize, you have some adults that are trained and are willing to be teachers and supporters of our youth. That's one thing. And you have them and you train them even before you even have any kids. Create the need and support it, and people will show. And so what we did was also we talk about, do we bring them into the service at the end and talk to them about what you learned today in school, kids? Or have them sit through the first part of the service and then go to youth ed or what? And so what we did, and ended up in Dallas anyway, was towards the end of the service, and most churches do this. You have any youth, they come in at the very end before the prayer for protection and the peace song. A peace song and a prayer for protection, whichever way churches do it. And so what we did in Dallas was we created a prayer blessing that we had the children come in, and they would come in and be up on stage. And we would, let's see, I want to make sure the light. What, show that next light. Yeah, okay. They would be up on the stage, and then I would be here, and pretty soon they get this really well. Everybody does. This is a two-part prayer. One is the adults say the blessing for our youth, which is these slides, and then the youth will say it back to us. Now, in case you just think these are just words, let's pay attention. First of all, the slides are actually people, members and children of our congregation in Dallas. We had happened to have a professional photographer in the community, and they came by one Sunday, and everybody that wanted to had the pictures taken, and they could get some copies of it and all that. And some of them gave us permission to use slides like this. You can't have children or anyone up here unless we get permission for that. But it's really powerful, isn't it? So In the statement, God loves you and accepts you just the way you are, is unconditional positive regard, unconditional acceptance. And I love you and accept you just the way you are. It's not about God. It's about we personalize it. So the adults say that. And what we end up doing is the adults are either standing or sitting, and some of them hold their hands up to the kids and say that to them. So we're going to do this two-part. We're going to say this, imagining the children in our life and children on the planet, and maybe even imagining them here or all of the above, whatever you might do. Can you imagine, if you are watching this live right now, live streaming, are there children in your life right now with you in your house, wherever you may be, your apartment? And certainly there are children in your heart. So as you join us in saying this blessing for our youth, imagine who they are, and in your heart you know. So we're going to say this to our youth, then we're going to pause in the silence, and we will hear from our heart them saying it back to us, the children blessing us. So we bless the children first. A blessing for our youth together. God loves you and accepts you just the way you are, and I love you and accept you just the way you are. I behold the Christ you are. Your turn, kids. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you, with us. The time is now. Let us remember. Little Fillmore invited us by asking the question, who will take care of the children? We've answered this morning from our hearts. And so it is. God bless you.